All right, Randy Evans is with me, again, former editorial page editor of the Des Moines Register, director of the Iowa Freedom of Information Council, and also regular author of a column called Stray Thoughts, which I think is a little bit funny, since your thoughts tend not to be very stray at all. They tend to be very focused.
They're leashed.
They're leashed. Well, good, they ought to be leashed and curbed. There's nothing worse than a stray thought straying onto, anyway, that metaphor has already run its course. So you were around, how many years ago was it when, during the Vietnam War, because of its opposition to the Vietnam War, the American Friends Service Committee building, again, think Quakers, was bombed. I mean, not just a little, you know, token bomb, but a big bomb.
Well, I mean, this occurred at a time in our history when, you know, these kinds of bombings were occurring with troubling frequency around the United States. The Des Moines Police Department, a bomb there. Drake University, one of the buildings there was bombed.
Who bombed the police department?
I'm not sure if they ever. I don't believe the charges were ever.
Now how about Drake?
Again, you know, these are incredibly difficult crimes to investigate because the evidence is gone. But it, you know, we talk these days like the division in the United States is unparalleled. But, you know, those of us who have more white hair than dark hair remember.
Some of us, no hair.
Well, I didn't want to be too observant there. But, you know, at that era, the Vietnam War was an incredibly stressful time in the United States history where there were strong opinions on both sides of the issue. And the involvement of the American Friends Service Committee in some of these pacifist kinds of activities wasn't setting well with a segment.
Yeah, and they were nonviolent action opposed to the war,
mm-hmm.
and you lived nearby at the time.
Well, I didn't live near enough.
Not near enough to get blown up, but near enough to hear it.
Well, by the time I got there, I was pretty well winded. I lived at 28th and on 28th Street between Grand and Ingersoll, and the explosion that evening was so loud that I was convinced that it was just a short distance away, and I knew as a reporter that I needed to be there.
So you were reporting for the Des Moines Register.
Correct.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how old were you? Curious.
Oh, 24, 25.
Okay. And you still were out of breath just running 12 blocks?
Oh, it was more than 12.
Well, 28th Street, 42nd, do the math.
Oh.
Oh, 14, you're right.
Oh, well.
14 blocks.
Then, as now, most of my exercise came from jumping to conclusions. But it, you know, so I took off on foot with my notebook and pens in hand and started running, and people think Ingersoll is flat.
No, we know. We hear no better.
It's uphill the whole way.
Both directions.
And, you know, so I was there. It was a huge story. And
what did you see when you got there?
There were police, fire, lots of people.
A smoldering building?
And more questions than answers. Hmm. And that it has lasted through the years. I mean, you know, people who were closely associated with the American Friends Service Committee, the Quakers, you know, they're still wondering who was behind this. What was the motivation?
Yeah, well, it had to be presumably somebody who supported the war effort and was not pleased with
right.
voices of peace.
Mm-hmm. That,
but you and I, maybe part of the question is why was not more done to try to track them down? Is that
well? But I think that I think we see every day there are lots of crimes that occur in Iowa, in the United States, where it, in spite of the best efforts of law enforcement, they don't have the evidence that they need to build a case.
Right, right.
I think if I veer off on a tangent here, this is one of the reasons that, some law enforcement officials are concerned about a close relationship between local police agencies and federal immigration officials,
mm-hmm.
ICE, because if local police are seen as an extension of ICE,
they won't be trusted.
They're not going to be trusted. People who have knowledge or may have information that would be helpful for an investigation aren't going to share it with law enforcement. So it's, solving crimes is no no easy task. And, you look at the Unabomber. It was only through, almost a quirk of the Unabomber's brother just having some suspicions and taking those to law enforcement that solves a almost 20-year-old mystery. Yeah,
that would have ruined their Thanksgiving dinner, wouldn't it?
Taken off the Christmas card list.
Yeah. So you ended up writing a story about this.
I was one of a number of registered reporters who contributed, to show you how the business of news gathering has changed. As I was hot-footing it up Ingersoll, my head was swiveling as I was trying to spot where payphones would be because, cell phones were still in the future.
Yeah.
I have dictated complete stories or I've dictated, bits of information and have it stitched together by somebody back at the office. And, this was one of the stories where the stitching was done back at the Register newsroom.
You had to run back down the hill.
Well, one of the things that you also learned to do, which these days would probably get you shot, you'd go up and just knock on a door and say, I'm from the Register. Could I borrow your phone?
Right.
So, if you hear a knock on the door some evening, Ed, I'm just here to borrow the phone.
Okay. Yeah, well, it'll have to be a knock on the door because we don't have a doorbell. So the what kind of damage was done to the building? Do we know?
Well, it was extensive damage, but
and nobody was hurt, correct?
Right. It was at a different time of day.
Staff had all left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's among the questions is, was that just good fortune on the public's part, or was that
benevolence on the part of the bombers?
Yeah, who was in wanting to intimidate, but not, kill.
Right.
I think that one of the lessons to take away from that is that, we ought to be mindful of the events that we're living in and not present them in ways that we think that this is unique and unusual.
Back to your point about the division in our times, mm-hmm. that there was plenty of division.
There was plenty of division back then.
And there's always division. Wherever there's people,
but I think
there's division.
But I think
that said,
you look at the aftermath of the Vietnam War and the, you know, pardons were in the news back then, you know, when draft resistors were pardoned as part of the healing process. I'm not sure that pardoning a Honduran drug lord is helping the healing.
It's exacerbating the problem. It's creating greater divisions. And I would say, I think, I mean, I was around then too, younger, more capable of running 14 blocks without getting winded. So I mean,
show off.
Keep teasing you about that.
Show
but,
off.
But also, I don't think it was as bad then as it is now.
The division. I think there were strongly held opinions on both sides of the whole war issue. But I think, you know, one of the, there ought to be a cautionary tale in the use of National Guard on the streets of American cities these days, the use of the military domestically these days. You know, I take you back to Kent State University, where, you know, what, 5 or 6 people shot because the Ohio National Guard soldiers, you know, did not exercise good judgment. And you had innocent students gunned down on a college campus.
Yeah. 4, I believe. But yeah, it was terrible. There's so much good and bad in our history. And we tend to focus on the bad because, for various reasons. But I think one reason is we hopefully can learn from it.
Yes. But I think what concerns me is when our leaders, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or Whigs, don't learn from history because they've never really paid attention to it. And you know, I you look back at the Vietnam era, and you had people who were Republicans, and you had people who were Democrats, who were not afraid to grill the administration about decisions that were being made. These days, I see precious little willingness on the part of political leaders who are in the majority.
The Republican Party.
To ask questions, to demand answers from the administration. And
so related to that, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I never thought I'd say I was sorry to see her resign. I am. And you know, she's done gone through an interesting evolution, if we take it at face value, which I do, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I believe she's sincere. One thing she said was, "I regret being so caustic," something to that effect. She regrets playing into the politics of division. And she just recently, just this weekend, did an interview with Leslie, forget her last name, on 60
Leslie
Minutes.
Leslie Stahl.
So, yeah, on 60 Minutes. And it's pretty insightful.
Yeah.
And I you know, why is her rebellion against Trump's authority so unique within the Republican Party? And rebellion in her case, somebody who was seen as kind of her right-hand ally.
Well, and this could be a financially costly decision on her part because, you know, she was in there, you know, in a comfortable office where she could have been there for who knows how long, but she's walking away from that.
Yeah.
Chuck Grassley, who has nothing to worry about financially, has torpedoed, poor choice of words, his reputation that he had earned early on in his career.
I once voted for Grassley because he was independent.
He was not afraid to ask questions, ask why, but he has no curiosity now about...
Yeah.
Why we are, you know, we're bombing yeah. boats, or why we aren't using the Coast Guard. I've come full circle now.
Yeah, you have, but that's okay. That's a good place to be. And I think lessons from the bombing of the American Friends Service Committee. There has always been division in this country. But beyond that, we're at a particularly divisive moment, and mm-hmm. We should be encouraging more people to think independently, to read history.
And to talk to each other.
And to talk to each other, which what I spent all of October trying to do.
Because I think that from making those personal connections are the way that we appreciate each other's views.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, thank you so much for joining us. Randy Evans, folks.